Hello, church. Let's pray as we look into this passage together. Our great God and Father, as we come to your word now, thank you that you draw us into something that is so much bigger than our own lives, than our own little stories. Lord, this morning as we come to your word, please give us eyes to see your enormous plans and our place within them. We ask in your name and for your glory. Amen. Okay, let me start with a question. How do you think we can create a deeply united community? I wonder how you'd answer that. How do you think we can create a deeply united community? There's a deep longing in our culture at the moment for us to be more united, to find a bond that can hold people from different backgrounds together. You see it in advertising all the time. So near where I used to live in London, there was this big sign for advertising a local theatre company. And it says down the bottom, it says, "Chicken Shed, name of the theatre, will continue to strive to connect all people and all communities. I am because we are." It's deep longing for connection. Or closer to home, University of the Third Age here in Crowborough. How does it advertise itself? Well, it says we're bringing people together by learning new things. Or obviously Facebook, the big tagline for Facebook, connecting people. There's this deep longing for us to be more united, to find a bond that holds us together. And yet, it seems to me that lots of the things that we're looking to as a society don't quite work. They don't seem to create this united humanity that we're all looking for. So look, obvious example, but the internet, right? A fantastic, best opportunity we've ever had to connect with people who think differently to us. But we know now, we know from all the statistics, that the more time someone spends on social media, the more lonely they feel. Not seeming to work. Or take another good thing, like education. Do you remember David Cameron saying, the hope for our nation, education, education, education? Obviously, it's essential, but right now we have a generation emerging that is better educated about other ways of thinking, other cultures, than any other generation in history. And yet, you know what's happened to the hate crime statistics in the last 20 years? They've gone up and up and up. It's obviously essential, but it's not working. It's not fixing this. It's not creating this unity that we all long for. Another thing some people would say is causes. We need to rally together around different causes. But again, I don't know, as I look on, I'm not sure that that works either. As people rally together around one cause, it seems to me they just get more distance from people who disagree. A bit like spokes on a bicycle. Imagine for a moment spokes on a bicycle, all wanting to rally together, all wanting to come closer together. And they might get closer to each other, but they just get more distant from ones that aren't joining them. I mean, pick your worthy cause, whatever it might be, environmental issues, or different political parties, or different moral issues of the day, or veganism, or whatever. People might clump together around their little interest, but they tend just to be more and more distant from the people who don't agree with them. Just get more and more tribal. So how can we create a genuinely united community? Now, I think that's a kind of personal question too. It gets quite personal because, look, I assume each one of us, right, we would love to have deeply united families, wouldn't we? Love to have deeply united friendships. And yet, time and time again, we don't seem to be able to make that happen. Pride, selfishness keep getting in the way and spoiling it. I know just in myself, I would love to be the kind of person that brings other people together. And yet so often I find myself coming away from conversations and I've put someone's back up. My pride, my insecurity, it's got in the way. How do we create a genuinely united community? Well, look, I think this passage is going to show us that the way God does that, that God draws us closer to each other, by drawing us closer to himself. I think that's the big idea here. God draws us closer to each other by drawing us closer to himself. Look, as we've heard the last couple of weeks, this book of Ephesians, it lifts our eyes to God's big plan to bring all things together in Jesus Christ, and how the local church community is swept up to be part of that big story. And the big divide in the day, back in this church in Ephesus, is the Jewish-Gentile divide. And Paul is going to tell them here, look at verse 15 with me. Halfway through, it says, his, God's purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, making peace, and in one body to reconcile both to God through the cross. The way God draws us close to each other is by bringing us close to himself. It's a bit more like this. Imagine a bike wheel. How do the spokes get closer to each other? Where do they come together? In the center, right? It's not by trying to pull towards each other. It's as they get closer to the center. Same idea with Jesus Christ. As God draws us to himself, that is what unites us to each other. Three things he's going to tell them to remember. He's going to tell them to remember that you were once separate from this. Remember that Jesus has brought you near. And remember that God is building you into his dwelling place. So first thing he's going to say, remember that you were separate. Have a look down at verse 11 with me. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. Now, this church 2,000 years ago in Ephesus seems to be largely made up of Gentiles, non-Jewish members, and he wants them to remember that at one time they were separate from God's people. You may well be familiar with this. But look, in the story of the Bible, after humanity has rejected God and been alienated from him, God chose one family, which became the nation of Israel, through whom his hope and his love can come back into the world and reach the rest of the world. And they had God's promises, they had God's blessing, they had his presence and the promise of a savior, and they were marked out culturally by this different way of life written down in the law of Moses. And Paul reminds his original Gentile leaders, he just reminds them here, do remember that you were outside of that. Verse 12, you were separate and excluded at one time from that. You didn't have the Savior. You didn't have the promises of God. You were at one time without hope and without God in the world. I wonder, can you think of a moment in your life where you felt like you didn't belong? Where you felt on the outside. I have a moment from my gap year where me and some friends we went into a local pub for local people, and I went up to the bar and ordered a tap water. Yeah, I deserve the judgment. I do deserve the judgment that you're giving. And it just made very clear to us that we didn't belong. This wasn't a place for us. It's on the outside. Now, Paul is wanting to remind them that you were once outside the people of God. And he reminds us of that so that the next bit is even more wonderful to us. Okay, look at verse 13 with me. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. There's a lot of ideas in there, okay? But the big idea here is that Christ has brought you near, that you see there in verse 13. He's brought you near. Now, I'm going to draw out a couple of the amazing things in this verse because it's very, very dense. But notice verse 14, that he's drawing both into a new humanity. He's made the two groups one, verse 14. Verse 15, he's making a new humanity out of the two. Now, this is important, right? Because people at the time seemed to think it was more like this, that the Gentiles had to become Jewish, kind of culturally, and then they could be part of the people of God. But here, Paul is saying, no, in Jesus Christ, it's not like that. It's more like, look, you've got the Gentiles and you've got the Jews, and they come together in Jesus Christ to become the new people of God, this new humanity, coming together, becoming one. Notice as well, verse 15, it talks about him destroying the barrier at the end of verse 14, the dividing wall of hostility. What on earth is that talking about? Well, look, the dividing wall, this is a picture of the temple. And imagine that sort of in the middle is the place where God sort of symbolically dwells. And outside that, you have a courtyard where the priests can go. Outside that, you have a courtyard where the Jewish people can go. And then there's the lines they're pointing to it. There's a big wall of separation. And outside that is where the Gentiles can go. It was a big picture of what we just saw, that you're outside of this. But according to this, Jesus Christ has destroyed that dividing wall of hostility. Look, 20 years ago, I was in a Bible study, and someone tried to illustrate this in a way that's always stuck with me, and I've tried to recreate it for you, so just bear with me on this. Imagine that I am the dividing wall of hostility, and that Steve and Sarah are the Jews and Gentiles. Now imagine that Mark Rapley is Jesus Christ, okay? Could we roll the video? That worked for me. If it didn't for you, I'm really sorry. But Jesus Christ destroys this dividing wall and brings the two together into one. He fulfilled all the requirements of the Old Testament law. And remember when Jesus Christ died on the cross? Do you remember what happened to the curtain in the temple? Does anyone remember this? Ripped in two, right? To say anyone can come near to God now. Well, Paul's saying that like the curtain, the dividing wall between Jews and Gentiles is now broken down. Anybody can come in. And here's what, that might sound like it's got nothing to do with us here today, but I think that is immensely relevant to us today, because it means whatever cultural background you're from, we all have the same point of access to God. Look at verse 18. Look at how he puts it in verse 18. For through him, Jesus Christ, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Do you see how that draws us together? Naturally, we all look down on people who do things differently to us. But if in Christ we all have the same access point to God, that brings us together. Think about it for a moment. Whatever your cultural background, imagine the late Queen of England in Buckingham Palace, a vibrant Christian faith. And imagine indigenous tribes in Papua New Guinea, many of whom are coming to faith, you know, living in mud huts. Culturally, they couldn't be further apart. But if their access point to God in Christ is the same, they can't look down on each other. They can't start judging each other. Not that I think the Queen would have wanted you. I think she probably understood this. You see, if a Jew doesn't have to, a Gentile doesn't have to become a Jew to come to God, then an African person doesn't have to become a European person to come to God. A Westerner doesn't have to become an Eastern person to come to God. A less educated person doesn't need to become a more educated person to come to God. An introvert doesn't need to become an extrovert to come to God. We all have the same point of access. Christ has drawn you near to God. The access point is the same for all. God draws us near to each other as he draws us near to himself in Jesus Christ. Now in verse 19, he's going to move on. He's going to switch it sort of into the present tense. But last year had been past tense. You were separate. You were brought near. Now he switches into the present tense. Look at verse 19 with me. Consequently, you are now no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Get your head around that. You are being, if you're in Christ, a Christian, built in to God's home. You're becoming his temple. Now look, it's hard for me to overemphasize how big a deal that is in the Bible. You see, the temple is where heaven and earth meet. Right, and heaven, God's space, and earth, our space, those were separated when we rejected God and were pushed out of the garden. Now, in the Old Testament, in the temple, that was where God's presence, where heaven came back into earth to some extent, where God's glory and his beauty and his goodness could come and be encountered. Where, in the midst of this dark and painful world, God's presence and hope can be met with. And this is saying here, as you and I come to Jesus Christ, he is building us into that place, to be that place where heaven and earth meet and people can encounter the living God. So I don't know about you, like, we come to church and we just see the surface of things, right? We see each other, we see the coffee, you know, we maybe see the things that we get a bit irritated by. But if we could see this from God's perspective, it is a phenomenon. Look at how he puts it in chapter 3, verse 10. His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, accomplished in Christ. When we meet like this, what we are doing is part of a huge cosmic eternal plan. As God draws us near each other by drawing us near himself, he is displaying his glory and his wisdom to the cosmos as he creates this multi-ethnic, multi-generational new community. Now let me just ask you a question as I close. Is that how you see church? Is that how you think of church? So they may be here this morning, and if you're honest, this is not how you see church. Maybe for some people here, you know, you come along to church because it's what your parents taught you to do, or because it's a good British tradition, good thing to do. Maybe deep down you might know that you're here physically, but if you're honest, you're on the outside spiritually. Look at verse 13 with me. If you're honest, you can't say that Christ has brought you near to God by his blood. Now, if that is you, can I just say, please don't hesitate to get that sorted. The way is open. The dividing wall has been broken down. You can come into Christ and be brought near into God's eternal plans. If that's you, please don't hesitate in thinking these things through. But look, for those of us here that would say we have turned to Christ, that we have been brought near, again, I just want to ask, do we think of church this way? Look at verse 22 again. Have a look down at verse 22. In Christ, you are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Interesting there, he's not saying try harder to make this true. Do you see that? He's saying this already is true. The point is not we should all try harder to be God's dwelling. No, the point is you are being built into this. This is happening to you now if you are a Christian. It might feel very, very ordinary as we come here on a Sunday, or as you meet with your small group midweek, or as you just have some friends from church round for a meal or barbecue one evening. It might feel very ordinary as we invite people along to these events coming up. But God is building us into his dwelling place. He is drawing us closer to each other as he draws us closer to him. We are taking part in something that lasts far beyond our own little lifetimes. That's what we get to be a part of. Is that how you see church? Let me pray. Our great God and Father, we thank you so much that you have in Jesus Christ brought us who were once far away near by his blood. Lord God, we thank you that you sweep us up into this huge cosmic plan. Father, give us eyes to see what you are doing and our place within it. Amen.